Welcome back to the program. It's the big show in the morning. Matt Rose, Will Nolte.
Screw you. How about that?
What was that?
Screw you. How about that?
Who is that?
Frank Cron. Doesn't even sound like him.
No, it doesn't sound like him at all.
So many more clips in that Cron hour that we could have.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can unload with old Brent Cron. Some iconic moments, to say the least.
I got run over one time in the playoffs, in the minor or in the American League. I got a text message for the apology.
You don't have to clarify in the American League. It's the only place you play. Yikes.
Right in the teeth. Oh, I can't believe we didn't get to the Flames alumni.
Well, he sounds like my career minus the two Stanley Cups.
For you two idiots.
I like when he called you, mud fences?
Yeah. Where is it here? This one's pretty good, too.
We need to grow a set of stones here. Find some goals.
Grow a set of stones.
I think it's right off the top here.
Hi, Brent. Did you have FM radio growing up in Winkler, Manitoba?
I did, buddy. I lived close to Winnipeg. You guys have kept me on hold for 5 minutes while I had to listen to you two mud fences talk about Love Inc. I was about to hang up, to be honest.
I do love me some Love Inc. Right?
Hi, Brent. Did you have FM radio growing up in Winkler, Manitoba?
I did, buddy. I lived close to Winnipeg. You guys have kept me on hold for 5 minutes while I had to listen to you two mud fences talk about Love Inc. I was about to hang up, to be honest with you.
That's it. He loves Love Inc. Now, of course, Chelsea Dagger, because he played his first NHL game in Chicago, and he got lit up. So you heard that a lot.
Yeah, the track was blaring, that's for sure.
Heard that a lot. But thanks to Brent for coming in. That was it was good to see him. Been a while. And it was nice to have a guest in studio once again.
It's been a while. So, yeah, come on down. See the studio. It's really great in here.
Tommy Amos here. So, obviously, Man Attraction is in the house.
Yeah, we love that. Great. Awesome.
Thanks for breakfast.
Yeah, really appreciate that. GVP's in the other room running a real tight ship.
Yes, sir.
Keeps this place real tidy.
They're playing a little musical chairs back there, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Alex is getting a couple of cracks at doing some stuff back there.
GVP's showing him how to podcast today.
Wow. Yeah. You teach him how to use the phones?
Yeah.
There you go.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alex, good to go.
Bingo.
Well, then you can just take the rest of the day off, GVP.
Yeah.
Well, if you say so.
Take an early Friday,
GVP.
See you, man.
I'm out of here.
Take care, dude.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks
see you at the slow pitch tournament tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See you never.
Hey, watch out. You're going to get the shovel, dude, if you don't watch out.
We do have the slow pitch tournament tomorrow. That's going to be
the GVP's like, oh, I can't come. I'm busy.
I'll come if you're in the derby.
Really?
he'll contemplate it if you're in the derby.
Well, like, will so not entering the derby, though?
No.
He's not even thinking about it.
No, he looks...
I'm going to keep trying to make him to do it.
Well, I will go in it if you're coming.
I won't be there.
Well, then I'm not going to go in it. So you lied to me.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You know what that means.
Oh, no, dude. Double doink 2 days in a row? Come
That's
on.
Right. That's right.
How's that for a send-off? See you later.
I'm not going to get a chance, so I got to get my shots in now. You know, as they say.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Not great at goodbyes, so you know, goodbye.
Oh, I'm terrible at goodbyes, but goodbye.
Let's meet a G later today.
That sounds like how I'd like say goodbye to like a 2-year-old cousin who's like barely sentient and you're like leaving a family dinner. Bye. You don't really know much. Bye.
Right on. Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
A lot of visitors coming in today.
Well, you feel like you had to say something, and then you didn't say something.
No.
You looked over at Evan, and then you didn't say anything, and then you just went back to awkward. Evan's future is so bright, he's got shades on, you know? Oh. Ooh, what happened?
I did want to play this before we left, and now was a good time to do it, coming out of the George Hopkins interview. I had a chance to talk to Richie Sindani the other day.
Yeah, let's find out this head story.
And I started off by asking Richie what his favorite Geo story is. We also got into the BC Lions, as the Stamps and Lions will play on Saturday. But first, Richie Sindani's thoughts on Geo Hopkins.
We're here with Richie Sindani, and I wanted to start here, man. You guys were in Ottawa, got the win last weekend, and that was great. But I think one of the cooler parts was equipment manager George Hopkins, who we can look and see his name up on the kind of the wall of honor right there.
Yeah.
His 1,000th game with the Calgary Stampeders. And you've been with the Stamps for 4 years now. Do you have a favorite Geo memory you'd like to share?
A favorite Geo memory. Actually, I do. It was right over here on the field. I ran like an out route, and Huffnagel was out for practice. And Geo was actually on the cart driving it. And for some reason, he parked at the end of the end zone. And the ball led me towards that. And I actually slid and hit my head on the cart that he was on. I remember Huffnagel yelling at him. That was probably the funniest thing ever, because that was the day that Geo tried to kill me.
Oh, no.
He wasn't trying to. He felt bad, but that's my favorite Geo memory, actually.
I think a lot of people would also bring Black Betty up in training camp.
Black Betty, man, that's the worst day, because you hear it out here, you hear it in there. It's part of tradition, though. He brought that in here, I think, way back in the 80s, so we just kind of go along with it.
It's pretty cool having him around, just knowing everything that he's been through, hey, and been through here for all the great cups and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it must be pretty neat just being around him.
100%. You know what's actually interesting with Geo is he's really intelligent. So sometimes when I have time, I go up to him and I ask him questions about what's going on in the world. I think with the whole thing with Ukraine and Russia, he kind of explained the background story on that, because I thought it was new. He was actually a history major, I believe, a history teacher, I believe, or I think he was striving for that. But anyways, he has a lot of insight on a lot of things going on in the world, so that's kind of nice.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, we're going to interview him Friday morning, so we'll have to dive into that as
well. Yeah, for sure.
But let's get to yourself. You returned against Ottawa. How'd you feel?
I felt good. It's kind of always in the first game, you know, you got to get your feet kind of wet again. You got to get back on the turf, feeling pressure, feeling releases, running around guys, setting up your routes. So it was kind of nice getting that in my pocket. This game, I'm hoping to do the same, get a little bit better.
Tell me about this matchup with BC, because they've got a veteran backfield.
Mm-hmm. So whenever we play BC, we kind of get ready for, you know, the veteran backfield that they have. Like TJ Lee, he's a guy that, you know, he plays that boundary half. He can move around a lot. I believe he's at corner. They have a lot of guys that, you know, have been around that system for a while. They do a really good job of getting into coverage, so I think it's going to be a big challenge for all of us receivers.
One of the things that BC can do is be pretty aggressive with their defense, and when I look back at that second game against Winnipeg, they're obviously very aggressive, but you guys kind of had a game plan to avoid that. Obviously, you didn't get the win, but it was close, and you saw results. So is it something similar with this BC defense?
Yeah, like when I look at Winnipeg, I think they kind of have a – I guess they have our number this season. They play a really good job on – they have a really good job on defense. But when I look at BC, I see a team that kind of mirrors the top team in the West. So whenever we step up and we try to play against them, you know, we try to bring that same energy that we would against Winnipeg every game, really. But, you know, you kind of suit up a little bit better when you're playing a better team too.
The only other question I had for you, I wanted to ask you about young Jalen Philpott, the other Canadian who's lining up beside you, the rookie.
Yep.
You know, you've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like having him under your wing?
Man, it is nice. I get to see everything and just kind of give him a heads up for things that are going to happen, things that might happen, and you know, the good and the bad. You know what I mean? That kid's a brilliant kid. If you ever talk to him, you know, he's humble, you know, with all the accolades that he has. He had more accolades than I did at 21. He made the team. I didn't. I love that kid. He's taking everything like a sponge. You know, it's easy to help him out. It's easy to coach him. I can tell by the coaches and how they have a rapport with him. He's a kid that's going to be a superstar in this league, in my opinion.
Always appreciate the time, Richie.
Yeah,
good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Richie Sindani. Returned to the lineup last week against Ottawa. Having a pretty solid season for the Stampeders, but obviously hasn't been able to play in every game, something you look for. We'll see how he plays against BC this weekend. Quick break. What you want to talk about is coming at you next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I sent you a video yesterday. I don't know what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Was it with Adnan? We're talking about 007?
Yeah, because I had watched the Daniel Craig series, and I asked him whose favorite one was.
And I sent you the video. The guy's creating the pause menu music.
Banger. The pause music for 007.
And then reading some of the comments. Unbelievable. People have strong ties to this game. The pause music is no exception. You wake up at 7 a.m. This music is still playing.
Yes.
And then this one is definitely one that I think a lot of people relate to. Many nights having to sleep with this song on because of no memory card.
Yes.
Couldn't save your game.
Yes. That is very, very accurate.
And just so people know what we're talking about, here's a little little look inside.
A little teaser. Oh, yeah.
Game is unbelievable.
No golden gun. You can't use golden gun in multiplayer. It's not, quit screen peeking.
Screen peeking, yeah, that was definitely a thing.
Come on, you're screen peeking again.
How'd you know I was there?
How'd you know I was coming around the corner?
How'd you know I was there?
I literally saw you looking. I was watching your eyes.
Of course.
Maybe I'll watch GoldenEye today.
It's a good movie. Gets me going.
This is like ASMR to me. I'm like, this is great. I could fall asleep right now.
You just hope that there's people listening that did play GoldenEye 007 on N64.
Oh, who didn't?
No, I know who didn't because it's not his...
Because he was what, like three?
Yeah, or not even born. Garrett, did you ever play?
Nope, no, sir. Yeah. Did not do it. When did it come out?
Well, the film came out in 95.
So not born yet.
You
so
didn't you didn't even probably know what an N64 is.
I did have an N64 actually when I was like very young.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it came out in
then 90- we sold it.
January of 2000.
Not great.
No, 97 was the
video. Praised by critics.
Yeah.
And won an award.
The video game came out August 25th, 97.
So 3 years after the film.
And 3 years before Garrett was born.
Yeah.
More you know. Boom, doom, doom.
What are we doing here?
It's the more you know. Never mind. That's an even older reference.
Oh my God.
I'm handing on shovels today.
Yeah, itchy trigger finger.
A couple of texts at 960-960. Why didn't you just mute your TV? Well, I mean.
Because it's a bop. What do you mean? Because the track honks. Imagine Jordan Romano coming out to that.
Yeah, someone says this song should be a walk-up or pregame jam.
I'd like it.
And you have the lights, like, you know, because they do the lights now all crazy at the Rogers Center as he's coming out. GoldenEye is one of the best N64 games ever. GoldenEye, worst graphics, best game ever. Yeah, the graphics were not great.
No. Oh, my goodness. They're awful. They're so bad. But also, pretty good.
Proximity mines in the bathroom?
Yes. That is, that's hitting a little close to home. I remember constantly getting turned around on one of the levels that was all snow. And you had to like go between different bases and constantly getting turned around and wandering around the same level for hours on end because I didn't know where the next part of the stage was.
There's like no hints.
There's nothing. Yeah. The mini map is useless.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there.
No directions. Everything looks exactly the same, going back to the fact that the graphics were horrible.
This one says, have you ever had Beasley on the air for the job or for an interview? No, I've not.
Like, I feel like he's at one point, there has to be a, like, maybe, right?
I don't think they've ever had him on this station for an interview.
Hmm.
I don't think so.
No. Not that I recall in my 8 years being here. I don't think we've had Beasley on.
Beauty, though.
Yeah. No, 100%.
One of the nicest humans on planet Earth.
Always comes and says hi whenever I'm up in the press box. Yep. And I always appreciate it.
Yep. One of the nicest humans on planet Earth. More on the text line at 960-960 later on this hour with what you want to talk about. Before we get there, though, a couple of RFAs have signed in Chicago. You can cross a couple more off the list.
Really? Some breaking news.
Caleb Jones. course, brother of Seth Jones, signing a one-year, $1.35 million deal. And Philip Kurashev signing a one-year league minimum deal at $750,000.
Right on. That team's going to be bad.
Any bit of news, though, we'll take it. The RFA list, we've talked about it a lot this week. Maddie, no deadlines necessarily. I know someone texting in when we talked about this earlier this week saying, you know, December 1st is the deadline technically. If RFAs are not signed by December 1, they can't play that season. But we ever really had that deadline come into conversation except William Nylander, who, what, signed the day before that deadline?
Yeah, I think so. So we ended up being able to play, but that's really the only one that I can think of.
That's gone that late into the season, yeah.
31 restricted free agents still unsigned. That would include Caleb Jones and Philip Kurashev, so that list now down to 29. Yeah, there's some notable players on here. We talked about it earlier. The biggest ones are Jake Oettinger and Jason Robertson, 40-goal scorer, a playoff hero in those two individuals. So those would be the big ones that we're waiting for in Dallas. Islanders have several, but you got to assume that those deals are done and just not announced just yet. There isn't a whole lot that tickles my fancy here. Maybe Kirby Dach, recently acquired from the Blackhawks by the Canadiens, still needs a deal. That one interests me. He only had 26 points in 70 games, but he played on the awful Hawks, and he played a lot, too. He had, like, averaged 18 minutes of ice time, which is a ton for A, a forward, and B, a 21-year-old forward.
Yeah. What's his, again, I know he's only been in the league for a couple of years, but people always ask, you know, for a guy who was drafted as high as he was at third overall, I don't think he has lived up to expectations yet. The 26 points and 9 goals were both career highs, along with the 17 assists. So career highs in every category, including games played last year. What's his ceiling? Like, what do you see Kirby Dach as? Because when he was drafted at third overall, you'd think you're getting a number one center. I don't think that's what he is. I think he is a guy who is probably best suited in the middle of your lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, we've talked about it a lot, and it's cliche, but it's because it's true. Playing center ice in the NHL at 18, 19, 20 is not easy.
No, especially when you are being asked to play in a top six role, maybe something that's a little bit higher than you should be doing, right? And you go back and you look at his 3 years that he was in Saskatoon. He played 19 games as a rookie, had 10 points, got better the next season, 52 games, 46. And then he had his first point-per-game season when he had 25 goals and 73 points in 62 games in 2018-2019, leading into his draft year. And a lot of people liked Kirby Dach because he had the size, right? He's a guy who's, what, 6'3", something like that? 6'4", is what he's listed at, just under 200 pounds. And to have a guy like that down the middle is always intriguing, especially if you're an NHL general manager. And I think injuries have really hurt him, right? You go back to the 2020-2021 season when he kind of, you know, he had that wrist injury. There was the World Junior situation where he got hurt in the pre-tournament game and ended up missing a ton of time. And then in 21-22, he missed some time as well. He only played in 70 games. He had an injury in the middle that seemed to kind of derail things. I don't know. He's probably a guy who, I don't know, does he project to be like a Sean Monahan in his prime type of player? A guy who will score 25 for you, play ideally in your middle six, but could play on your top line if you needed him to, but maybe wouldn't be able to chip in the same amount of offense if you end up putting him in those type of positions. That's kind of what I would project him as, a guy that I could see being a point-per-game player, but it certainly would have to be the right type of situation. I think that when you're a team like the Canadiens and you want to go down the middle with Nick Suzuki and Kirby Dach as your 1-2, I like the way that looks quite a bit. And then you can go out and add someone in free agency down the road. I think that you could have a really nice kind of center depth with plenty of options there. You know, this is a team that quite recently had Phil Deneau, who is an outstanding shutdown center, kind of in that 2C hole. I wonder if Kirby Dach can turn into that player in Montreal, or are they going to, because Nick Suzuki kind of is that guy too. Do you want a little bit more offense from your centermans there? So I'm unsure. I think that's kind of what I project him to be, but
the only difficulty
I'm a
I
fan of the player.
The difficulty I would suggest is that he's still going to be on a bad team and still going to be played in an elevated role that maybe he's not necessarily, maybe ready's the wrong word for it, but maybe not at this point in his life is one that you're kind of relying on or confident in night in and night out. Because, you know, let's be honest.
He's your second line center at this point.
They played better. They played harder under Martin St-Louis, but I don't think anyone's expecting the Montreal Canadiens to be a very good team next year.
One of the biggest things that would help Kirby Dach is if Christian Dvorak could play like the player he was when he was in Arizona at his best and stay healthy and kind of take that 2C spot that a lot of people thought he would take from when Philip Deneau left, and they went and they got Dvorak kind of as the simultaneous move to immediately fill that hole. But this past year was, I don't know, just short of a disaster for him. So you would really hope that him at 26 can kind of be your second line center behind Nick Suzuki, and then maybe put Kirby Dach in a little bit more of a position to succeed here entering his fourth NHL season. That's what I would look for.
So Kirby Dach is amongst those unsigned RFAs in the NHL. On the UFA side, I really, at this point in the offseason, I know that Nazem Kadri remains out there, but in terms of interesting situations or stories on the UFA market, there's not a ton. Like I do wonder where a guy like Sonny Milano ends up. I think that he's a guy that if you're a team out there that, you know, is looking for a little more depth in the middle of your lineup, I think you can take a flyer on a one-year deal with Milano. What does that look like in terms of a dollar figure?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure at this point. He made 1.7 last season, had 14 goals and 34 points. I think there's probably an opportunity to give him a very identical deal if it's 1 year at 1.7 or 1 year at 1.5. All depends on, I guess, at the same time, what Milano wants. Does he want to be on a competitive team? Is there a team out there that's, you know, saying, hey, we can't give you a lot of money, but come play for us and kind of, you know, build up your resume in a sense for the 1 year? I don't know what that looks like. He would be a name that I think would be at top of the list for some people. Paul Stastny, at this point in his career, is he a PTO guy? Is he a one-year deal somewhere? That's one to watch. Same conversation I would suggest for Phil Kessel. It sounds like Calvin DeHaan has had some conversations with the Vancouver Canucks.
Mm-hmm.
What does that money look like? What does that contract look like? I don't think there's a lot in terms of interesting stories out there. Evan Rodriguez as well. But as we've talked about this week, is Evan Rodriguez a player that you can rely on to have 43 points, or is that a one-off? And has that been a situation where teams are a little bit concerned about the production level and what they could get with Evan Rodriguez this upcoming season? I think it depends on the role he plays. If he comes to Calgary, for example, who I think we can all agree we could use a right-handed shot forward.
Always.
Is he playing in your top six in Calgary? There's a good chance. Playing in your middle six in Calgary? For sure.
Without a doubt.
And can you get similar production from him? Is he a 15-goal guy in Calgary? If he is that a flyer you're willing to take? I know Calgary's cap situation isn't ideal, but he made $1 million last year. If you're Calgary, could you sign into a one-year, $1.5 million deal? And does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's kind of exactly what I'd be looking for. He did have a one-year, $2 million deal signed back when he was with the Buffalo Sabres a couple years ago. So it wouldn't be the richest deal he signed, but I think it would be something that you still like to see. 82 games last year. That's a really good number. He played in all of them. 19 goals, and, you know, it's interesting because he was one of those guys that moved up and down the lineup based on who was available for the Penguins. When Malkin and Crosby were out, he was doing a lot of, that's when he was doing a lot of his point production because he had moved into a top six role and was producing well. He was scoring goals, he was setting up his teammates, all that type of stuff, and then people started to get healthy, and he moved further down in the lineup, and he just wasn't able to maybe create offense in the same way. But maybe wasn't being asked to at the same in the same breath as well. So yeah, I wonder if there's just a little bit of a wrinkle there, perhaps to the entire thing with him. So yeah, I don't know. I could see him being a 20 goal guy for a few years, but he's definitely someone I thought would be signed by now. So it is probably something where you're looking at, you know, a 1 year deal, $1.5 million, something like that, just to get back at the NHL and kind of replicate what you just did, right?
True. Is that, did I miss anybody for you on the UFA list?
No, it's
pretty bare, right? I think we're talking, as I said, for a lot of these players, even veteran players like a Paul Stastny and a Phil Kessel. Like, I think we're probably in PTO territory this time, just knowing the lack of money out there for a lot of teams, mm-hmm. certainly teams that would be interesting to those players. Does Phil Kessel want to play again? I think he'd like to keep that Ironman streak going, I would guess.
Right? Yeah, sure. Why not? You worked so hard to keep it going this past season with that flight and everything, with the birth of his child.
Play one shift and then go home?
Yeah. So,
and is he, you know, he's a guy who's, you know, obviously made over $90 million in his career. I don't think he cares about money at this point. And, you know, not a guy that's going to reach the 25 or 30 goal plateau anymore, but still a guy who can put up some points. He's a great playmaker. He's a great offensive player. And the one thing that I've always never had a problem with Kessel is he can skate. Mm-hmm. And I think that that would be a valuable asset for certain teams out there. I also don't know what Phil wants to do, who he wants to play for, where he wants to play. But I think there'd be a home for him.
Yeah. You know, I also wonder, like, the three last years in Arizona, what does that do to kind of the competitive fire for a guy who, like you said, he's made a lot of money, he's done a lot of good things in his career, he's been in the league for a long time. Like, at 34, what is the competitive desire to go and join a winner? I think that's just as much of a factor. And, you know, 3 years in Arizona, what does that do to, you know, that fire within you of 3 years of basically being irrelevant by the time November rolls around? So I always do wonder about Phil Kessel in that sense, but further to your point, a guy who, ton of success when he was in Pittsburgh, can
go
still
back
skate.
To Toronto.
Offensive, sure, why not? That'd be fun. For the storylines,
no,
it would
that he's
be
going
fun.
Back.
But there's no chance. Should we get into what you want to talk about?
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
It's 8:49. Let's dive in. What you want to talk about for Calgary Lock and Safe, your source for everything door-related, sliders, swing doors, steel door replacements, and germ-friendly wave activation buttons. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
Do you think the Dallas guys are possible offer sheet guys? They've got $10 million in space. Robertson could get 8-9. Ottinger probably 6-7 after those playoffs. I do not think offer sheets are realistic.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that happening. I think that if you're Dallas, you probably match. Because if you lose either of those guys, oh boy. That's after a couple big steps forward, that would be a few big steps back.
And realistically, if you look at teams that can afford an offer sheet like that,
the list is limited at this point in the offseason.
Chicago Islanders, who have already probably got some money tied up with Noah Dobson and, you know, another RFA is Romanov, probably already signed. So
yep.
They're probably less than that right now. Anaheim, Buffalo, and Arizona. I do not see Jason Robertson signing in Anaheim, Buffalo, or Arizona. And that's the thing people forget about offer sheets. The player has to sign the sheet.
And yeah, I he doesn't think, get surprised by it.
I don't think Jason Robertson saying, yeah, I'll go play in Buffalo. No, I don't think that that's something that he's wanting to do at this point. I could be wrong, but again, they have to sign those offer sheets. And I don't think Arizona is going to be able to woo a Jake Ottinger or Jason Robertson. That's just my feel.
I'm right there with you. Those guys are going to be Dallas Stars when the season starts. The question is, what number?
I flew back from Anaheim earlier this week with Michael Stone. Any chance he re-signs here? I don't think so. I just think looking at Calgary's situation and what they have on the back end and some of the guys they've already signed that would be kind of in that same wheelhouse, i.e. a Dennis Gilbert. Who's the other guy they signed on the
Nick
back?
Malosh.
Nick Malosh. Connor Mackey's coming in on a one-way deal. Again, one-way deals aren't restrictive. It just means that they make the same amount of money in the NHL and the AHL. And you've got to put them on waivers to go down. But looking at their defense right now, unless they're trading a Valimaki, I don't see a spot for Stone. I really don't.
Yeah, no. I think unless an injury pops up in camp or something like that, but I would also say I would never be surprised by the Calgary Flames signing Michael Stone for a one-year deal.
Hey, I like it. Stone's a great guy.
Yeah, absolute beauty.
I love Michael Stone, and I think, you know, he is a guy who's going to call Calgary home for a long time. You'll see him at alumni events forever.
Yeah, I wonder about a player development role or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if he re-signs in Calgary. Couple more texts at 960-960. Bill, what are some of your favorite moments from 960? I have a lengthy list. I would suggest.
Did you actually write a list?
No. But I, you know, there's a lot that I, a lot that I've done here that I'm super proud of. You know, I would suggest getting to hang around and interview players that I grew up watching was pretty awesome. I would say covering the playoffs in 2015 as a youngster in the biz was pretty awesome. Being able to go to Flames games for 10 plus years in the press box is something I'm going to miss. Something I definitely, looking back, you'd certainly take for granted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a long list and it's been a lot of fun. Top moments though, for sure. The mall walk with Kron was a lot of fun. On location shows are a blast.
Yeah.
You know, obviously depending where you do them, but always fun. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good ride.
Golf tournaments were always good.
Yeah. The golf tournament last year in Banff. Great time. Did the live show.
Mm-hmm.
Then played golf.
Were you with the Calgary Lock and Safe guys for that?
Yes, I was with Lars. We
lost
first hole. It's also with Dan, who is the manager at South Trail Hyundai. Pulls out a 2-6 of Jack Daniels on the first hole. Says we got to finish this by 18. We're like, okay.
Oh, pitter patter. Off we go.
So it's us two and Chris McManus.
And a bottle of Jack.
And the rest is history, as they say.
I think, yeah, you can make a movie.
We won the tournament, actually. And nobody believed us.
Yeah, because I bet you were having a lot of trouble counting.
Yeah, and then I gave a speech at the dinner.
Oh, no.
It's not good.
Oh, no.
Pretty much called everybody out for calling us cheaters.
Oh, jeez.
You don't think we could win the tournament? I can't see one. It's three of you over there.
I can see that.
Were you guys able to get Makar in the Cup in studio at all this week? I was not able to do that. I believe his day with the Cup or time of the Cup is now over. He was at Crowchild Twin Arenas yesterday. So shout out to Crowchild. And I did see, I don't know if you saw this, he and O'Connor putting a Slurpee in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was his
big Slurpee guy.
His big splurge.
He's a big Slurpee guy.
Going and throwing a... I haven't had a lot of Slurpees this summer.
Are you a Slurpee fan, like, in general?
Oh, dude. Growing up, it was the treat. Like, if mom and dad were going to take us for Slurpees on a hot summer day, wasn't going to get any better than
What's your number one Slurpee flavor?
And
are you a guy who mixes, like, you got the rainbows or you got one solid color?
Two colors.
Okay.
Maximum, sometimes solo color.
Maximum? So you're saying?
Like a maximum of two flavors.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I'll do just one, but maximum of two.
Yeah.
The cherry Coke is good. Grape, cream soda. I like a lot of the fruit ones.
Cream soda is a good choice.
Cream soda is what I had the most.
I'm pretty boring though. I'll go like the classic Pepsi.
Yeah, no.
Or Coke.
Only cherry Coke for me. That's the only one I'll do.
Sprite's a good sneaky one too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like when you go to like a tap room with like 400 beers and you're like, "Can I get a Bud?" Or you go to a wing place, they got 40 flavors and you go, "Can I have salt and pepper?"
Yeah, well, it's too sweet. You know?
You're saying too sweet.
It's a cup full of sugar as it is. Don't go over the top.
Coke and Sprite flavors being not sweet.
Well, look at the text line agrees. Sprite with a yellow Red Bull. Coke and cream soda.
Sprite with a yellow Red Bull.
That's a lot of... how's your heart?
Yeah.
Orange, good flavor. Great flavor.
I do love orange.
That's a good one. It's a really
Especially if they have the ice cream. If you go to one of the, what do we call them? Circle K's. And they got the machines at the soft serve as well, right beside, that's only working like a tenth of the time.
And thanks for this texter. Yeah. Matt, what's wrong with enjoying what you like? Why you got to come at me, bro?
The irony.
Hey, it's the divisional final. Okay?
No.
And I, you know, this text comes in, it just misunderstood what you had said, because I don't think I've ever seen Matt Rose drink one, nor will I ever see him drink one in the future. You said, can I get a Bud? You were just making a point. You are not a Budweiser guy.
Yeah,
I've never seen you drink a Budweiser.
No, the point was, if you're in a bar with 400 taps and you have all these craft beers to choose from, and you choose a Budweiser.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, I've said about Slurpees, and I don't know if you agree. Can't get them too big, because if they melt and it just becomes like ice and syrup, no good.
It's garbage.
Yeah. You got to get the perfect size that you can crush.
Here's the thing.
In enough time that it doesn't turn into that. Because as a kid, you loved to take the scoop of the end of the straw and just eat it. But like now, I can't let it get to that point.
No, I don't even like getting the straws with the scoop on the end, frankly. I just hate the straight up straw. Yeah, just give me the straight up straw. But I have such an issue with just housing beverages like this. Like if we ever go like get Slurpees, or Haley and I go get like iced coffees or something, I'll be done halfway through the walk home. She'll have had three sips and I just see ya.
No brain freeze, eh?
Oh dude, if I've got a straw, game over. We've talked about how I don't like straws very much, only in certain things. But if there's a straw there, it's like, yeah, it's the equivalent of a spoon for utensils.
I like it. I like it. A couple more quickly. 960-960. Pretty sure Valimaki is waiver eligible this year. So if I'm betting, he's not a Flame by game one of the NHL season. I don't think Valimaki's a guy that would get picked up on waivers, to be perfectly honest with you. He's making 1.5. It's not like he's making 750. And if you had read reports and follow along, he didn't have a great year in the American Hockey League. I don't think that Valimaki has as much value as some people believe. That's just my opinion.
I'm right there with you.
Could be wrong. If he's making not 1.5,
if he's
probably gets
mid,
claimed.
Yeah. But 1.5 is different, because you can't just claim a guy and immediately put him on waivers.
You got to keep him on your NHL team for 30 days, and then you got to send him on waivers to even send him down.
You'd have to have the cap space. And during like training camp, there's like one day where every team puts everybody on waivers, because it's hard for, you know, you to make the money work.
Yeah. Then final note, paper straws are just awful.
I think we had this conversation earlier in the week. Okay. I don't like plastic straws. I don't like paper straws. Paper straws are the worst.
There's only one of us in here that's a big straw guy, and we all know who that is, all right?
I just want to chime in quickly. Here we go. Metal straws. Way to go.
Metal straws.
You know what? I will say, you did admit to me that you had coffee in your metal straw. And you burnt your hand on it.
It was like warm coffee. Like, it wasn't hot coffee, obviously, it would be a disaster, but yeah. But yeah, metal straws with Slurpees, like, it like makes the straw really cold. And it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. Metal straws are the shiz, man.
Mm. You ever tried to drink a milkshake through a paper straw?
Yeah.
Oh, easy.
You sound there. Awful.
That's kind of what your throat sounds like when you try to drink a milkshake through the paper straw.
What was that?
I have and I hate it.
Yeah, it goes limp like a dead flower. Terrible.
Yeah, and how that...
That's a great analogy.
That's a really good analogy. Yeah. I like
that
a lot.
It in you.
Oh, thanks. Smarter than most. Sometimes.
Another drive.
Even with all those shovels, you're still smart.
Hey.
Fighting through that concussion. Hey?
Yeah. Fighting through the pain.
4 in 2 days is a tough luck, especially when I didn't get one. Like, 4 months I've been here.
You're like,
come on.
Oh my God.
Like Sideshow Bill walking around, hitting himself with the rakes. What if you like Bud and you're not a big craft beer guy? You're just meeting buddies who love craft beer. Listen, like, we're getting really deep into this example, guys.
If you like
Bud, by all means. It was just trying to prove a simple point. That's it.
If you like Bud, you like Bud. Tomoyama's a big Bud guy.
Yeah? Are you?
I don't.
No? He's shaking his head.
Stella.
Oh, fancy wancy over here.
Or what, sorry?
Brava. Literally the opposite. Jeez. The only time I drank Brava, and there's a reason, was when we started this tradition when I was in university, going between my, in my second years, was hanging out with some buddies, getting to know some people, whatever. Was trying to get a little bit more involved with my classmates and hanging out and that type of stuff, because I understood that in broadcasting you had to meet people and work on all these connections to eventually have a career. And so one Tuesday, I messaged a whole bunch of people and I was like, hey, what's going on? What are we doing? And they were all just hanging out. And I was like, okay, I'll come too. And we had lecture the next day, Wednesday morning. So I was like, I'll just crash there. No problem. So I brought a couple of cases of Bravo with me. And I think there was five of us, four of us drank. And we finished both cases. So we did 30 beers between the four of us, went to lecture the next day. And we were in really rough shape, but we had a great time. So we called it 10 Beer Tuesday. And we started doing it as a tradition on Tuesdays. And more people got involved from our grad year.
How was your Wednesdays?
Wednesdays were long. we would roll into our lecture with sunglasses, wearing the same things that we left our classes from the night before. I don't know if the teachers appreciated it. In fact, I could almost guarantee they didn't. But we did, and I really did. So, yeah, it became a thing where Tuesdays you had to try and drink 10 beer, and whoever drank 10 beer first would be the winner.
What'd you win?
High fives.
Bragging rights.
Yeah, notoriety.
Stella on payday. Bravo to get to payday.
There you go. I like that. I like that.
Tell me I was texting in now. Well, you know the old saying, this bud's for you because I don't want it. Oh. Ba-dum-bum.
Jeez.
Velvet fog on payday. There you go.
Ooh. My big fat gut loves Budweiser.
That's my big boiler. My buddy and I celebrate 2 o'clock on Tuesdays. And a boy, Jim.
I like that.
2 o'clock, otherwise known as beer o'clock.
On Tuesdays? Yeah. A little late, frankly.
Should be 10 a.m.
Frankly. No, we... Yeah.
Someone texted me and said that I should try the frog water Slurpee at 7-Eleven right now.
Frog water.
I had that yesterday, actually,
and?
After golf. It's watermelon and lime. It's not bad.
Ooh,
pretty good.
I do like that.
It's like a very dark green color, right?
It is, yeah.
Are you a big Slurpee guy, GVP?
Yeah, I don't mind Slurpees.
Is this a little thing we didn't know about you?
I like Slurpees. I think my go-to mix is like Pepsi grape. Ooh, that's a good one.
Grape's a great choice.
Yeah. If I'm going single, it's usually just Orange Crush all the way or an ice-cold root beer.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call.
Then you're texting in here, Matt, because it says Twisted Tea goes down fast for a nice buzz.
Only takes a few tugs, boys.
How many?
That thing's gone. Three, usually.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
I think I could do it in three tugs. I can do it in, like, three tugs.
You could.
I can do it in, like, three tugs.
Yeah. There you go.
Seriously, dude. I could drink 6 Twisted Teas in 45 minutes. No problem. I'd feel juiced, but I would... like, physically be in pretty good shape.
Bite two ends of a Twizzler. That's a straw.
Yeah, that
very
is.
Very small, though.
Yeah, and they
I don't think that's going to be good for a Slurpee.
They disintegrate.
Yeah.
In the same sense that paper straws do. They don't do it as fast.
It gives you some flavor, too.
Yeah, sure. Right
but,
on.
But you're not getting any flavor of the paper straw.
No. No.
Yeah, and that's a good call there by Wedley. That is a flag on the play. But it's okay. You know, paper straws, they can beat it. That's all. A lot of people asking where I'm going, what I'm doing. I can't divulge that information. I'd love to tell you because I'm quite excited, but I cannot divulge that information right now. Maybe someday down the road. But right now, as they say, you've got to zip your lip. But I will say I do have places to be. I'm going somewhere.
Can I ask you this? Are you staying in broadcasting?
No.
I think that's a question a lot of people wanted to know.
No.
So that's the big one.
And I'm also not the new Wranglers mascot.
Come on. Why not?
I was asked.
Could you do?
I had to turn it down.
You said no?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, well, the reason I said no is because it wasn't Scorch. So I said, you know, I can't do this, guys.
What do you mean? Is that inside information? Do we know that it's not going to be Scorch?
It's got to be Scorch. Otherwise, I can't commit to this. So they couldn't guarantee me it was going to be Scorch. I had to pass.
I don't blame you. Now, if it was Scorch, would you come out of retirement?
Would you stop listening to videos over there? My goodness.
We're trying to do a show here,
Tomiyama.
Trying to be
on the air.
My goodness.
Like, turn your volume down or something. What are you, new? God, I know you never come in here anymore. Your pass didn't work. You're sitting at the door for 20 minutes. Are you even employed here? Are you sure?
John! Security man, John!
John's gone today.
Oh, too bad.
That's how he got in.
Criminal.
For those that don't know, we're talking to Jordan the Web Guy, who is, I think, scrolling Instagram over here and just blaring videos.
Very
Next
selfish.
Thing you know is his ringer's going to be on and someone's going to call him.
Yeah, or it's going to be curse words and we're going to get the CRTC coming down our throat. They're going to be just mean and nasty and it's going to be all your fault, Jordan.
Anything more disappointing than when the Slurpee is not the flavor as advertised? That is tough.
What's this? Uh-huh. What is this? This person's going galaxy brain.
Let's see.
Let's talk Slurpee consistency. Grab the XL cup, fill twice by dumping what you put in the sink adjacent to the Slurpee area. Wait a minute or two, guarding the chosen flavor from others. Draw the perfect Slurpee every time. Whoa. That seems a little galaxy brain to me, Will. A little too much.
Wow. There you go. So I'm not the Wrangler's mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not staying in broadcasting. Those are the two
and
things
also,
I can tell you.
I know a lot of people are like, what is going on over there? What's with these guys?
Timing is just literally it's coincidence.
In your line of work, whatever you do, I'm sure that you've had individuals over the course of the pandemic have decided that certain things aren't for them and they don't want to continue to do them. And they have made career changes and choices that have changed. And I think we're just seeing a lot of that here. So, yeah, nothing's wrong here. It's just
the show's, and I will tell you this. Yeah, the plug's not being pulled. And Tom Yama is going to be hosting the morning show.
No,
Monday.
God, please, no. Please, no.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
That's you, Jordan.
How about this text? I don't know if it's like it's a slap in the face and then it's like, just good luck. I guess you're okay. This one says, glad to see you go, Nalt. Best of luck with your new job. Genuinely wish you the best. So I'm going to punch you in the mouth, first of all. Glad to see you go. About time.
Beat it.
Best of luck, though. I genuinely mean it. I'm not just being sarcastic. I think you deserve the best.
But also, beat it.
Yeah, you
don't
suck.
Don't let the door hit you on your way out. But
glad to see you go.
But also, I hope it goes well for you. It's
very...
Hmm.
It's like not, it's like a, it starts off as a compliment sandwich because you insult.
A compliment sandwich.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It's open faced.
Yeah, it's an open faced slap. 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 Working with Ty Pilsen at CSET on the Stamps beat. No. No, I'm not. That'll do it. There you go.
What you want to talk about for Calgary Lock and Save with a smart lock from Calgary Lock and Save? You can easily manage your locks right from your smartphone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. We'll take a break and around the corner, continue on with the big show. Will's last day, final hour right ahead. Sports at 960 The Fan.